Chevron Houston Marathon. You got me on this one.
Welcome to The Running Grind, a podcast dedicated to finding the story behind your journey. Presented by The Grind Effect. It's a lifestyle, it's a state of mind, it's a reminder that success, your success, doesn't always come easy. And here's your host, Joseph D.
Welcome back, y'all. We are a few days post Chevron Houston Marathon weekend. And man, you know, it was filled with some highs, filled some lows, but overall it was a fun weekend. I definitely enjoyed myself, and you know, it's always a special race, the whole experience of it, from the expo to the We Are Houston 5K, all the way down to Sunday, and the how quickly that day goes by. Just to kind of preface this whole race, you know, 2022, the 50th anniversary of the Chevron Houston Marathon, that was my first live marathon. I did the virtual back in 2021, so I did the mileage. The training wasn't really the same, just because I knew I wasn't going to go hardcore for a virtual marathon. But 2022 was the real deal, so I really wanted to show out for this very first marathon. So had my head coach James Wyatt, did the whole training block all the way from July, coinciding with the run club I'm a part of, Champions Running Association, all the way down to race day. And you know, kind of had a goal of going in there with like a 3:27 sub 3:30 goal, and race day was fabulous. The weather was amazing, colder than I think it was destined to be, like, super all week. I think they were talking about freezing temperatures. It ended up being like 32 degrees, which was nice. The wind wasn't too bad, but the temp and the humidity was, I think, where it needed to be. But you know, with that being my first marathon, I think I hit the wall right around like 15 and two potty breaks. I definitely left some time on the course. So ended up with a 3:32, and I definitely felt like, man, I definitely left 5 minutes on the course, and really felt I could really hit a 3:27, if not better, going into this season. So I kind of started a hashtag of redemption tour 2023, and seriously, right from the end of that 2022 race, I was like locked in for Chevron 2023. I knew my goal. I really wanted to kind of go more for, not even 3:27, go past that and do hopefully like a 3:25, if not better. Because not only did I feel like I left 5 minutes on the course, I felt like I probably left 7 or 8 just with two bathroom breaks. I mean, how do you not go to the bathroom during a marathon? That was my biggest deal, because I can't even sit through a movie without having to go to the bathroom, let alone go for 3.5 hours without having to, you know, go potty or something. But that last race, I ended up going to the bathroom like right around mile 9, and then I thought I was good, but then had to go around mile 15. And as soon as I stepped on that curve to come out of the porta potty, I just felt my calves just lock up, and I could just never get back on pace, and ended up doing a fair amount of like walking. My nutrition wasn't the greatest, and my heart rate even hit like like 202 at one point. And I just remember talking to people, because they were like, man, those tunnels were so cool when you ran through them. And honestly, I don't remember any of that, because I think I was just trying to stay alive. But after those tunnels, I kind of stopped, stretched out, and did a lot of run walking and stretching, and a lot more run walking, but was able to kick it in the last, I guess, 3/4 of a mile from 25.5 all the way to the end. And ended up with it. I felt like it was a respectable 3:32 and some change. But like I said, this year I was really locked in and really wanted to kind of push myself. So all season long, the focus has been on a 3:25, and you know, just everything was geared around that number, from dropping some weight, dropping some excess fat, trying to increase my strength, doing some cross training, really working out the legs. And come race day, I was pretty satisfied with everything up to that point. I felt like I was ready. Like, my whole training went well. Speed work was where I wanted it to be. The fartleks and the tempos, or the change of pace and the race pace that I would mix in on my long runs, I felt like this was going to be the year. I was like, man, I feel one, not only like stronger because you have experience and you've done a marathon before, but two, I felt really confident, not overly confident, but I just felt confident that I had done the work and this was going to happen. Prepared. That's probably the word I want to say. I was confident in my preparation. Cause you know, preparation promotes performance. So I felt like I had the preparation. All I needed was the performance. Race week wise, I know the big factor was the weather that everybody was looking at. And Sunday before the race, you know, I'm watching the news. They're saying like temperatures are going to start at 43 degrees, work its way up to like the 60s, which is still a big jump. But I was like, 43 degrees, I could take that. Like that's some pretty good starting weather. Other forecasts were saying it was going to start in the 50s. So you really weren't sure, you know, what race day weather was going to be like, but you kind of prepare for the worst. So I was hydrating all week, making sure that I was taking in the fluids every day. And then as Thursday rolled around, a cold front came in. I was kind of hoping that it would be delayed, like, you know, maybe 12 to 24 hours. But no, that sucker came in right on time, which made it seem like it was going to be warm on Sunday. Because if it came in a little bit later, it would have been stayed a little bit longer. But I remember waking up for the We Are Houston 5K. It was mid-40s. Not too bad humidity. But as soon as we got rolling, maybe about mile two, I was like, man, I'm getting kind of hot. And I was just in a long sleeve. I had some gloves on. Those came off. And so, like, in the back of my mind, I was like, tomorrow might be a stuffy one. But, you know, just kind of talking to other, I don't want to say elites, but I mean, they're pretty freaking fast. Just talking to other runners that are, you know, kind of in that 3 hour, which I mean, you should never compare yourself to other runners, but you know, I was like, if they'd probably be the right people to kind of talk to, they were just kind of saying that, you know, it's kind of in that gray zone where it can, you know, you can kind of shoot for your B goal, but you might have to pivot to your, I mean, shoot for your A goal, but it might have to pivot to your B goal. And I was like, shoot, well, I'm going for my A goal. So race day comes around. And, you know, Saturday was still pretty freaking amazing the rest of the day. It was like 64. There was a nice wind. It was a cold 64 degrees. But race day morning, I always have a robe that I just kind of get from, you know, Salvation Army or Goodwill that I could just kind of throw away. But I had that on. And, I mean, I'm walking to my corral with my robe on. And I'm like, man, it's freaking hot. So I was like, oh, geez. So you know, I still kind of keep it on just to kind of stay warm within the corral. But, you know, as soon as they shoot the gun and start walking towards the start line, that sucker comes off. I had the throwaway gloves on me. Those came off. And so I'm just kind of sitting there. And my goal was to kind of sit with a 325 pace group. My friend Rebecca was there pacing the group. And I was like, hey, I'm just going to sit on your hip and kind of follow you all the way through. And hopefully, you know, right around that back stretch, the last 3-4 miles, I'll be able to pass you up. And she's like, go for it. She's like, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. I've been keeping up with your training. I totally believe you're going to do this. So we get running. Mile one, I had like those like sleeves on, you know, on my arms, those little compression sleeves. Mile one, I don't even think it was mile one. I think it was like maybe less than that or maybe just past that. I'm already sweating. I feel sweat dripping down my brow. Those sleeves come right off, toss them to the side. But from mile one to 17, I mean, I'm sticking with the 325 group. I'm cooking, like I'm cruising, cruise control, feeling really good. As soon as we hit that turn, the 8 mile turn where we veer left and half marathon goes straight, I kind of even pick it up a little bit because I was like, man, I'm feeling really good. So mile, what is that, 8? We're taking off. I kind of get ahead of the group, and I was like, hold up. I don't want to, you know, hit the jets a little too soon. So I back off, kind of sit with the 325 group. Still, I remember her telling me, like, man, you're looking so strong right now. And I was like, you know, inside I was feeling really good. And, you know, this time last year at mile 9, I was already at my first potty break. And I was like, look, I don't have to go. That's crazy. I'm feeling pretty good. So we go. We hit 12. That's, I think, when I hit the next potty break last year. But no, I didn't have to hit the potty break at all this year. But we come down University, then we make our right on Westland, and I was like, here's that hill that kind of caught me by surprise last year, and I had amazing the Pacers in the 325 pace group, man. They were awesome because Coach John is his name, but he was just kind of giving advice throughout the whole race. I mean, he was talking about tangents. We're coming around this turn. Be sure to take the tangent. You know, he was calling out hydration stations. Him and Rebecca were really good pacers. So shout out to them if they're listening. But as we make our way onto West Park, he was talking about going up this bridge, and he just started saying, hey, we're going to slow it down to 8 minutes, take shorter steps, and then let your arms hang a little bit. And then after we go down, after we get over this hump, we're going to let momentum take us and get back on pace, go past pace because of the gravity just kind of taking us down that West Park toll. So that's exactly what we did. We slowed it down, and it was some awesome advice because, man, last year I remember trying to truck up that bridge and kind of being a little fatigued by it. But this year just followed his advice, took it nice and easy, came down, made that killer U-turn, and then we hit 13, and I was like, halfway point, boom, still feeling pretty good. Kind of make our way into the Galleria. That's when I met my folks. My folks were there waiting with signs and stuff, and actually an exchange bottle for me because I was carrying tailwind in my back. So right at that point, I think it was already kind of getting a little hot, and I was like, man, I'm just going to chug the rest of this tailwind, switch out the bottles with my folks, and then we continue on towards 15, make it down to 16. 16, I believe, is where I made my second pit stop last year, where I jumped out of the porta potty and felt my calf just like tighten up, and I was like, oh man, this is not going to be good. But made it past 16, and I'm like, heck yeah, still cooking, still cruising. We get to 17, and then I was no longer cruising. Like, I mean, it hit me last year at 15. I guess this year it hit me at 17 because, man, I went from, like, cruising to not cruising. And I don't know if it was – I guess it was just, like, the electrolyte thing because I was taking enough hydration, I felt. But I guess I was just – as that heat was kind of coming in, as the humidity was picking up, I don't know if I was just burning way more electrolytes as I was taking in because 17 hit, and I just felt a dramatic shift in my pace from 7:45. I think I was down to, like, a – 8 minutes. Let me pull up that Strava. I should have probably had that out. But I think I was like right at around 8 minutes. And I was like, ooh, man. And then as you slow down, you kind of start feeling everything in your body. Like I started feeling my calves, my quads. And so that's when I kind of knew like maybe I had to like start really kind of getting some electrolytes really in me. Gatorade stations. I don't think I hit the Gatorade station just yet. I was chugging way more of my tailwind that I was carrying. I think I was pretty much done with that bottle by like 19. But 18, once 18 hit, I had to stop and walk, which for me is just devastating because you're on pace, you're feeling really good, and then to have to stop and walk because your body is just talking to you like, we're good. We're not going to move anymore. it's just so weird to be like on pace and then all of a sudden you just feel like your legs are cooked. I mean, they're done. And I don't feel like I went out too hot. I don't feel like I went out faster than I should have. I felt like I was throughout that whole first 17, 18 miles, I was like, man, I'm feeling pretty good. I felt like it was all paces that I could maintain. But man, once 18 hit, I went from like a 7:45 all the way down to an 8 at 17, 8:06 at 18, and 8:20 at 19. And 20 is when I really had to just start run, walk, run, walk. And then by 21, I think I was already coming out the tunnels. Tunnels are at 21, somewhere around there. I was taking down like 3 cups of Gatorade, 3 cups of water, another one to splash on myself. And I was like 30 seconds later, I was still thirsty. Or I still felt like it helped for like 30 seconds, and then I was depleted again. So 21 to the end was a struggle bus by no means. Far worse than it was last year. And then I saw my A goal of 325 or 322, 325 kind of passed me by. Then it was sub 330, passed me by. And by 22, my goal of like just beating my PR from last year was already passing me by. So at that point, it was just like, let's just get to the finish line as quickly as possible, which was still pretty hard. Kudos to all the random strangers that lent me their shoulder to lean on. I mean, they were holding me up as I was stretching and kind of giving me like words of encouragement. And I was just looking at them like my eyes were telling them thank you. I just couldn't get the words out. I would just give them a nice tap and then keep going. And man, it was just it was a blow to not the ego, but it was very humbling because you felt like you were prepared. You felt like everything was well. Was it the weather? Maybe. Was it I just didn't take in enough electrolytes to kind of keep up with the changing weather? And I think that's just going to come with experience, knowing how weather affects my body, and especially when you're going at a pace like that. I mean, I'm talking like I was going like elite pace. I was going like a 7:45, which, I mean, it's fast for some, but, you know, not so fast when you compare it to others. And you shouldn't compare yourself to others, but, you know, I remember kind of coming up on mile 23-ish and seeing my friends over at Champions Running, and I didn't even know they were coming up. That's how out of it I was, but they were like, they called my name, and kind of ran to them and gave them a thumbs up. And as soon as I was like 100 yards past them, my legs were like, nah, quit running, quit trying to run. We're not doing this anymore. So a lot of more run walking, a lot more Gatorade chugging. I think I saw Tommy, a friend of mine, Tommy from BC Fit. He ran with me for a little bit and he was like, how you feeling? And I was like, my legs are done. So he just, you know, kind of just ran with me for a little bit, talked about kind of even slowing down my stride even more. 24, 25, I ran into Nikki Cannon. I was born to run. And you know, she was kind of in her own race, but I kind of just gave a look to her and I was like, hey, hang in there. She told me to do the same. But I was like, look, I'm dying. Just go ahead and pass me up. And no, but we kind of pushed each other to get to the finish line at that point. Once we entered downtown and we hit that long straightaway, you know, I'm telling myself, you know what? I'm gonna keep going. We ain't stopping. We're gonna make it all the way to the end. And my leg said, no, we are for sure stopping. You are walking. Cause man, again, it was like run, walk, run, walk. My legs had nothing left to just truck it through that last, I think, what is that, like 3/4 of a mile maybe? And then you pass that blue line where the camera guys are on the crane, and I'm like, oh man, at least run past this part. So I run past that part, and as soon as I pass that, back to walking. But I think the streets are just lined with people, and they're like urging you on and telling you can do it. And man, like as much as I wanted to try to run and push and give it, like my legs were just not moving. But once I saw 26 and there's only like, you know, 0.2 to go, I was like, you are definitely going to run this in. You are not going to walk this in. So try to muster up everything I had. I was like, if I even need to shuffle step in, I will do that. If I need to speed walk and look like those people on the Olympics that are like speed walking, I'm going to do that. But we aren't stopping. So finally crossed that finish line, big sign of the cross, like I always do, and ended up 8 minutes past my PR from last year. Almost, what is that? That is 13 minutes past my A goal of a 325 or better. But it is what it is. So, you know, I'm not going to lie, I was super defeated and just kind of had to let that one process. I mean, I'm walking through the GRB and in my feelings, I mean, I'm not crying or anything, but you know, I'm just like, woe is me. Like, what the heck? That so disappointing. Disappointed in myself. Just because, you know, it's like, one, you work so hard, almost 365 days to get to this goal. And, you know, you just never know what's going to happen on race day. So, you know, I don't want to say my body failed me, but my body failed me. And then, you know, I when I put myself out there the way that I do, and I kind of preach this whole mindset is everything, and I put pressure on myself, I guess, to make sure that I'm walking the walk and talking the talk and walking the walk. So definitely felt a little bad for myself, you know, right after that. And, you know, now that a few days has processed, I mean, don't get me wrong, Monday I was still kind of, woe is me. Tuesday I was still kind of in my feels. I mean, even a part of me has to tell myself that I'm not this elite, semi-elite, you know, runner that, you know, has amazing running skills. I didn't do this like growing up. I picked this up like when I was like 28. And for those first, like, I don't know what, 28, maybe 8 years, I was just kind of running, you know, nonchalantly, just kind of like doing. I remember when 30 miles, I used to feel so achieved hitting like 30 miles in a week. It wasn't until like 2017 that I actually really kind of bought into the whole, you know, 80-20 fartleks, tempos, you know, incorporating all this stuff that has definitely made me improve vastly over the last 5 years compared to the first 7 years. But it's all a process, and I have to be patient with the process. And, you know, but sometimes you get impatient, and sometimes you want to be hitting those numbers, you know, well before that your body's even ready to. But as quickly as Chevron 2023 has come to an end, I'm signing right back up to do it again in January 2024 and give it another go. I just have to at least run this course one more time and just know that I can dominate the course and not have the course dominate me. And then after that, you know, I'm going to start running these for fun, but I still have to give it one more go just to prove to myself that I can. So for anyone out there who maybe didn't have the race that they were expecting, or even just wondering if they want to do it again, you should absolutely come back out and do it again and wreck that, you know, ish, next year. So what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. It's kind of a cliche, but it's totally true. And it actually just, you know, increases my hunger to come back and prove myself to myself that, you know, we can do this, that we are going to do this. So remember, mindset is everything. Stay hungry, keep grinding, and we'll see you on the next one.